Good morning. Luke 8:16 says, "No one, after lighting a lamp, hides it under a jar, or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a lampstand, so that those who enter may see the light." In RSV translation. So I say to you, let your light shine. The Bible has more to say about light and the absence of it than what you may have thought. Many hours of rewarding Bible study await you if you will look up verses like light, dark, day, night, blindness, or other related words. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light, Genesis 1:3. About 6,000 years ago, the earth was a desolate planet. It was shrouded in a thick, dark, murky, really darkness. The waters completely covering its surface rolled and tossed in the endless night, whipped by unobstructed winds. How long it was like this, I don't have any idea. Then something momentous took place, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Above the churning black waters, God waited, ready to act. Everything was finally ready. The time had come to start God's 7,000-year plan. Over the billow and swipe of the unilluminated waters, a mighty voice ordered, "Let there be light." Immediately, the blackness yielded as the awesome forces of the elements reacted in obedience to Almighty God. Let there be light, a command for illuminating all of this dark planet. Yes, but at the same time, the words that launched God's plan to reflect its outcome in a thrilling and inspiring way. Actually, there are a few aspects of the physical, material realm that illustrates spiritual truths as profoundly as the relationship between light and darkness. Hundreds of scriptures draw this analogy. Just think of it. The world was in total darkness until God made the light to shine. The world hadn't always been in darkness. How did it become that way? Why did it become that way? Because of sin. When God first created the earth, angelic beings described as morning stars sang for joy. Job 38:7 says, "When the morning stars sang together, and all the songs of God shouted for glory." Many of them were given the earth as a place of habitation. They were ruled by the great archangel Lucifer, whose name meant O Day Star, or Bright Bearer, or Shining Star of the Dawn. Do you know how bright stars are? Our sun, as bright as it is just a dwarf as stars are measured. With all those brilliant stars, angels of light, inhabiting this earth, it must have been a bright place indeed, at least spiritually speaking. Then tragic occurred. Lucifer, not satisfied with the earth, read a rebellion against Almighty God in heaven. The rebellion was not successful. Lucifer and the angels who followed him were cast out of heaven. Isaiah 14:12, Revelation 12:3-9. No longer was he called Lucifer or Light Bringer. He was now called the Devil and Satan, and his kingdom became a kingdom of spiritual darkness and confusion. It was therefore fitting that the physical earth that was his domain be in darkness and confusion also, becoming that way by the battle Lucifer and his legions waged against the eternal God and his hosts. It should be noted, however, that God did not totally abolish darkness at this time. He introduced light into the world. He divided the light from the darkness. He declared that the light was good, but the darkness, which interestingly he did not call good, he still allowed to persist. There is something we can learn from this. As night coexists with day on our physical planet, so in the spiritual realm, Satan and his rulers of darkness now coexist on earth with the spiritual light. Do you know what that spiritual light on earth is? You are the light of the world, Jesus said to his church. Yes, spiritually speaking, God's church is the only light on this planet. Each era of God's church is symbolized by a single lampstand. Each churchman member individually is a child of light. Have you ever wondered how Satan recognized who among all the billions of beings alive are God's people? How does he pick you out as a tempt to his attack? If a million unlit matches were spread out in a vast dark room, how could he locate a specific match? You couldn't. But light that one little match, and immediately it is visible from everywhere. It stands out striking in contrast to all of the other 999,999 matches. Like that room, the whole world lies in spiritual darkness, its inhabitants swallowed up in obscurity. But here and there, in the spiritual blackness, a light shines. You, if God's Spirit is aglow in you, are such a light. Satan sees you clearly. He can pick you out. He sees the church clearly. He hates what he sees, and he is exerting every effort possible to put out those lights. Don't allow him to do so. Set your mind that your light shall continue to shine. Let there be light always. The final punishment determined for Satan and his demons, who are ever now limited by the change of darkness, is to be wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Jude 13. Light is not inherent in human beings. It must come from an outside source. The sun gives light by day. Without the sun at night in a world without electricity, we run the risk of stumbling. We may build a fire, but such human works amount to mere sparks and do not vanquish the night. People need light if they are to walk without stumbling. Our source of light is God. God is the Lord. And he has given us light. For you will be my lamp, David exclaimed to the Eternal. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Is your lamp lit? A lamp, the kind that the Bible speaks of, needs fuel to function. The Holy Spirit is the oil that fuels our lamp and keeps them burning. We need a constant supply of that fuel. The more of God's Spirit we have, the brighter our light will shine. How much effort we expend seeking that precious oil. Like the five foolish virgins, are we allowing our lamps to flicker and die out for a lack of oil? Or do we have an adequate supply just as the five wise virgins did? Let there be light. That is, in so many words, is what Jesus Christ commanded his followers. In order to do that, we must seek an uninterrupted supply of the Holy Spirit. But there is more that we must do. We need to study and put into practice God's word. The entrance of your words give light. You are a lamp. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let there be more light in your life. Drink in God's word and put it into practice. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is the light. Outside of God's revealed laws and inspired testimony, there is no light. Also, let there be light by getting involved in God's great commission of sending forth the light of the gospel, bringing truth in a dark and dying world. When we became Christians, we do not shine in full brightness all at once. It takes time. It is something we grow into, but it is vital that growth be present and noticeable, for the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter until that perfect day. From the first glimmer of dawn, the sun does not cease to grow brighter. The sun does not retreat or regress. A Christian should constantly be asking themselves, am I making progress in shining brighter this year than last year, this week than last week, today than yesterday? Let there be light. How are you doing? Is your light shining brighter than ever before? Light, as long as it is allowed to shine, always overcomes darkness. When you turn on a light in a dark room, the darkness vanishes. You cannot turn on darkness in a light room. The only way darkness can return is if the source of light is extinguished or covered up. Light is a positive force. Darkness is negative. It is the absence of light. Light symbolizes life and truth. Darkness symbolizes death and error. Light symbolizes God. Darkness symbolizes the power of Satan. Light and darkness are opposites. They cannot get along together. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Answer, none. The Apostle Paul further amplifies this truth in Ephesians 5:8-13. We are to let our light shine. You can't hear light. A Christian exposes the works of darkness by being a good example. It is in contrast between right and wrong that exposes the wrong. If you are a Christian, there must be a contrast as clearly as light contrasts with darkness. Between the way you do things, your outlook, your attitude, your total purpose in life, that and that of the world or something is wrong. When you are tempted to blend in with surrounding darkness, to partake in things hidden in shadows, to do what you know is not, you should not do, cover your lamp or compromise the bright light it should be giving off, get a hold of yourself and think. Say out loud if you have to, let there be light. And follow through by doing what you know God's will to be. Jesus' return will mark the beginning of the millennial day after the night of Satan's inspired human misrule. Jesus is the Son of Righteousness who shall arise with healing in his wings. The glorious day of God extends on past the millennium, encompassing the ultimate transformation of the present heavens and the earth to new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. We must never lose sight of that awesome destiny we have before us. God is the Father of lights. That's us. In God is no darkness, no shadow. He clothes himself with light. God dwells in unapproachable light. Jesus, being the brightness of God, God's glory, shines as the sun in its full strength. He is the bright and morning star. We shall be like him. That's part of the inheritance of the saints in the light. In this age, evil and righteousness coexist like day and night. After completing of God's 7,000-year plan, however, in the New Jerusalem, there will be no evil. Neither will there be any night. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Let that be your destiny. Let your light shine. Light, that intangible glow, illuminates the brightness of our homes, our churches, our places of work, and streets. We work to pay for it. Third world countries wish they had it. Robbers and thieves avoid it. Lovers want it turned down low. Night drivers are compromised to use it. Handcrafters position themselves for better use of it. Children turn lights on. Parents turn lights off. In our well-lit world, it is hard to imagine the total darkness which existed before the creation of light. No sun, no moon, no stars, no street lights, no windows glow, no candles, no flashlights. Total absence of light. Really darkness. The world is like that too, you know, in total darkness. What is our responsibility? We are to shine. Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world." The brightness of our personal light is in direct proportion to the amount of time we spend with the sun, spelled capital S-O-N. To be the light of the world, we must be in constant contact with the source of light. But the path of the just is a shining light that shineth more and more until that perfect day. Proverbs 4:18. The power of light impressed me recently when I saw street lights that shine brighter the darker it gets. They automatically adjust. Before the sun goes down, they hardly shine at all. But the more darkness falls over the town, the brighter they shine. When I saw this, I thought, this is our situation in these end times, which gets darker and darker. Our calling is, "Ye are the light of the world," Matthew 5:14. Light is the power. If the bright light of the gospel has been lit in your heart, then the more the night comes upon us, the brighter we will shine. We as children of God today, more than any other generation in the church before us, have the task of letting our light shine brighter and brighter, for the darkness is increasing. We are the only Bible that many people read today. Let our light shine bright. The light of righteousness rejoices, Proverbs 3:9. We are holding a light. We are to let it shine. Through darkness, it is our business to let it shine. Light dispels darkness, and it attracts people in the darkness to it. We are a blowing trumpet. In a dim and noise of battle, of sound of our little trumpet may seem lost, but we must keep sounding the alarm to those who are in spiritual danger. We are kindling fire in this cold world full of hatred and selfishness. Our little blaze may seem unavailable, but we must keep our fire burning. A light, a trumpet, a fire. They seem so little amidst the darkness and violence of the world. But with God, all things are possible, Matthew 19:26. And He will bless our efforts to bring good news of Jesus to a weary and strife-torn world. As long as it is day, we must do the work of Him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. John 9:4, NIV. Dr. Samuel Johnson had these words engraved on his watch. The night comes, from John 9:4. Likewise, we Christians ought to carry written on our hearts the solemn truth of how short a time we have to witness for God. Whatever we are going to do for Christ, we had better do it now. As a dying Christian, who had been very reluctant about sharing his testimony all of his life, said to a man who sat beside him in the hospital, "If I had the power, I'd shout, 'Glory to God!'" His companion answered, "It's a pity you didn't shout glory when you had the power." We had better be sharing our testimony while we have the power. If we are ever to study the Scriptures, if we are ever to spend time in prayer, if we are ever to win souls for Christ, if we are ever to invest our finances for His kingdom, it must be now. You may not have tomorrow, but you do have today. I say to you, what will you do for the Lord?
You've been listening to a message presented at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the Donate button, or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111 Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.